कुटुटी राभाशोगरा द्रिमशत्रात्। अंतराश्रजा शताजा केशरा शंकु करनान निर्हर्दा भृता दिगी भाद अरिभिन नकाग्रत नहां भिमेमि अजीता ते तिभ्या अनाकाक्षया जिहिवार्का नेत्रा भ्रुकुटी रभाशोगरा दंश्रिता अंतराश्रजा कशताजा केशरा शंकुकरनान निर्हृदा भृता दिगी भाद अरिभिन्न काकरात् नाहं भीमे अजीता ते अतिभया नाकश्यया जीवरा का नेत्रा भ्रुकुटी राभशोगरा दंश्रिता अंतराश्रजा शताजा केशरा शंकुकरनान निर्हृदा भीता दिगी भाद अरिभिन्न काग्रात् नाहं विभे अजिता ते दिविकश्या जिह्वरा का नेत्र भ्रुकुटीरभशोग्रदृंता अंतराश्रजा शतजकेशरा शंकुकर्णान निर्हृदा भीता दिघी वादरी भिन्न काग्रा नाहं भीमे अजिता तिति व्यनक्षुष्या जिह्वरार्का नेत्रा भ्रुकुटीरभशोगरा दृम्ता अंतराश्रजा शतजा केशरा शंकुकर्णान निर्हृदा भीता दिगी भात अरिभिन्न काग्रा अहम बिबि अजिता तेति भयानकश्या जिह्वार का नेत्रा भ्रुकुटीरभशोग्रशंसा अंतराश्रजा शताजा केशरा शंकुकर्णा निर्हर्दभीता दिगी भातरि भिन्न काग्रा नाहं विमे अजिता तिथिभ्यानकश्या जीवार्का नेत्रभ्रुकुटीरभशोग्रदं स्रात् अंतराश्रजा शताजकेशरा शंकुकर्णान निर्हृदभीता दिगी भातरि भिन्न काग्रा न नॉट अहम आई बिबेमी am afraid. Ajita, O supreme victorious person, who are never conquered by anyone, Te, your, Ati, very much, Bhayanaka, fearful, Asya, mouth, Jiva, tongue, Arka Netra, eyes shining like the sun, Brukuti, frowning brows, Rabhas, strong, Ugra Damstrat, ferocious teeth, Antra Sraja, garlanded by intestines, Shataja, bloody, Kesara, manes, Shanku Karnat, wedge-like ears, Nirhrada, by a roaring sound caused by you, Bhita, frightened, Digibhat, from which even the great elephants, Aribhit, piercing the enemy, Naka Agrahat, the tips of whose nails. Translations and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. My Lord, who are never conquered by anyone, I am certainly not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue. Your eyes bright like the sun, or your frowning eyebrows, I do not fear your sharp pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, your mane soaked with blood, or your high wedge-like ears. Nor do I fear your tumultuous roaring, which makes elephants flee to distant places, or your nails, which are meant to kill your enemies. Purport. Lord Narsingdeva's fierce appearance was certainly most dangerous for the non-devotees. But for Prahlad Maharaj, such a fearful appearance was not at all disturbing. The lion is very fearsome for other animals, but its cubs are not at all afraid of the lion. The water of the sea is certainly dreadful for all living entities on the land, but within the sea, even the small fish is unafraid. Why? Because the small fish has taken shelter of the big ocean. It is said that although great elephants are taken away by the flooding waters of the river, the small fish swim opposite the current. Therefore, although the Lord sometimes assumes a fierce appearance to kill the Dushkrits, the devotees worship him. Keshava Drita Narhari Rupa Jaya Jagadish Hare. The devotee always takes pleasure in worshipping the Lord and glorifying the Lord in any form, either pleasing or fierce. I'll read the translations and purport of 16 and 17 also. O most powerful, insurmountable Lord, who are kind to the fallen souls, I have been put into the association of demons as a result of my activities, and therefore I am very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world. When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation from conditional life? Purport. Being in the material world is certainly miserable, but certainly when one is put into the association of asuras or atheistic man, it is intolerably so. One may ask why the living entity is put into the material world. Indeed, sometimes foolish people deride the Lord for having put them here. Actually, everyone is put into the conditional life according to his karma. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, representing all the other conditioned souls, admits that he was put into life among the asuras because of the results of his karma. The Lord is known as Kripana Vatsala because he is extremely kind to the conditioned souls. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, therefore, the Lord appears whenever there are discrepancies in the execution of religious principles. यदा यदा ही धर्मस्य ग्लानिर्भवति भारता तदात मनम सृजया अहम्। द लॉर्ड इज एक्सट्रीमली एंग्शियस टू डिलीवर द कंडीशन सोल्स एंड देयरफॉर ही इंस्ट्रक्ट्स ऑल ऑफ अस टू रिटर्न होम बैक टू गॉड हेड सर्वधर्मान परित्यज्या मम एकम शरणम व्रजा। दिस प्रहलाद महाराज एक्सपेक्टेड दैट द लॉर्ड बाय हिज काइंडनेस वुड कॉल हिम अगेन टू द शेल्टर ऑफ हिज लोटस फीट। इन अदर वर्ड्स एवरीवन शुड बी ईगर टू रिटर्न होम बैक टू गॉड हेड टेकिंग शेल्टर ऑफ द लोटस फीट ऑफ द लॉर्ड एंड दस बींग फ्रूली ट्रेन्ड इन कृष्णा कॉन्शियसनेस। टेक्स्ट नंबर 17। O Great One, O Supreme Lord, because of combination with pleasing and displeasing circumstances and because of separation from them, one is placed in a most regrettable position within heavenly or hellish planets, as if burning in a fire of lamentation. Although there are many remedies by which to get out of miserable life, any such remedy is in the material world are more miserable than the miseries themselves. Therefore, I think that the only remedy is to engage in your service. Kindly instruct me in such service. Prahlad Maharaj aspired to engage in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. After the death of his father, who was materially very opulent, Prahlad would have inherited his father's property, which extended throughout the world. But Prahlad Maharaj was not inclined to accept such material opulence. For whether one is in the heavenly or hellish planets, or is a rich or a poor man's son, material conditions are everywhere. Therefore, no condition of life is at all pleasing. If one wants the uncontaminated pleasure of blissful life, he must engage himself in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Material opulence may be somewhat pleasing for the time being, but to come to that temporary pleasing condition, one must work extremely hard. When a poor man is rich, he may be better situated, but to come to that position, he had to accept many miseries. The fact is that in material life, whether one is miserable or happy, both conditions are miserable. If one actually wants happy, blissful life, one must become Krishna conscious and constantly engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. That is the real remedy. The entire world is under the illusion that people will be happy by advancing in materialistic measures to counteract the miseries of conditioned life. But this attempt will never be successful. Humanity must be trained to engage in transcendental loving service of the Lord. That is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. There can be no happiness in changing one's material conditions, for everywhere there is trouble and misery. Om Agyanti Mrandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam वंचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभयैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वी आर रीडिंग द सीन वेयर आफ्टर किलिंग Hiranyakashipu, Lord Narsimhadev is sitting on the throne and he is very, very angry and his form is very ferocious, very, very frightening. So frightening that exalted personalities like Brahma, Shiva and other demigods and even Lakshmi Devi herself, they were very, very hesitant to come close to him and pacify him. So they requested Prahlad Maharaj, who is a 5-year-old boy, to approach the Lord and pacify him with his prayers. So Prahlad Maharaj says here that he is not afraid. He's giving the complete description of the appearance of different features of the Lord. his ears, his nails, his teeth, his eyes. So everything is practically, you know, very, very frightening, very, very ferocious appearance. But still, he says, I'm not afraid of it. I'm not at all scared. So how could a five-year-old boy say that with so much of confidence? Yes. Yes. So though we say that the Lord is all-loving, but there are different, you can say, sentiments that come out of that love. And fear and anger is also one of them. So when the relationship is of love, you can only expect love. Even if there is anger in it, it will be anger of love. So Prahlad Maharaj was very confident that he is safe. And why did he feel that? Because of the three reasons. One is that he is completely surrendered at the lotus feet of the Lord. He is completely dependent on the Lord. And thirdly, he has taken the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So if you take the Lord's shelter, you cannot not really expect that the Lord is going to react in an unfavorable way. Even sometimes it may appear that it is unfavorable or it was not very pleasing, but still the Lord is protecting you or us when we take the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. We have been, I mean, at least I spoke about some pastimes from Ramayana last time when I was here, and again I am going to refer to a story which appears in Ramayana after Ravana kidnapped Sita Devi. So there is this bird by the name Jatayu. Have you heard of Jatayu? So Jatayu is elder brother of Garuda. He's the son of Arun, who is the chariot driver of sun god. So you can imagine that he is also an exalted personality. So after Ravana kidnapped Sita Devi and he was going towards Lanka, Jatayu saw Sita was, you know, crying and, you know, shedding tears and in distress. And when Jatayu saw that, he challenged Ravana. Though he knew he's an old bird, and he knew that he has no strength to, you know, challenge Ravana or to beat him. But still, he wanted to do something. He wanted to use his life in the service of the Lord. So he challenged Ravana, and there was he gave him a tough time. So it is said that he damaged Ravana's aeroplane. There was once, some time ago, I was hearing a class where there was a reference to the aeroplanes in that time. And the Prabhu who was speaking said that we don't know whether they were aircrafts at that time or not. But if they were aircrafts, where were the airfields? So the aircrafts existed at that time. And it was so advanced, then the aircraft size is not like fixed. Now, when we go to the airport now, we see that there is a Airbus 340. It will have so many seats. That's the size of the aircraft. There is a Boeing 737. The size of the aircraft is such and such. So many seats in economy, so many seats in business, like that. But at that time, the size of the aircraft would depend on the wishes of the person who owns it. So if he is traveling with a large party, he will accordingly, you know, wish, and a large aircraft will appear. And if there are just few of them, then a smaller aircraft will appear. So how, you know, eco-friendly? It's not like if there are only two persons sitting in the aircraft, a huge aircraft is going. So it was like that. So Jatayu, in his fight with Ravana, he damaged his aircraft and, you know, killed the like normally in chariots, the horses are driving the chariots, but the Ravana's chariot was being driven by donkeys. So he killed some of the donkeys also. And eventually Ravana got very much, you know, upset, and he kind of almost killed him. And when he couldn't really fight anymore, Ravana continued on his way to Lanka, and Jatayu was lying there on the ground. Then later, Lord Ramchandra and Lakshman, while searching for Sita, they happened to pass the same way. And then when Lord Ramchandra came, Jatayu spoke to him, gave him all the information about what he saw and, you know, who kidnapped Sita Devi and so on. And after that, he gave up his life. And now it is said that he perfected his life by giving it up for in the service of the Lord. So much so that his last rites were performed by Lord Ramachandra. So he was so fortunate, though he gave up his life. You know, it is like we are talking about protection. The Lord protects us. But in this case, Jatayu gave up his life. But still he was protected. Still he was cared for by the Lord, because Lord did his last rites. So that means the Lord is so compassionate, Lord is so loving, that if we surrender unto Lord, he is going to take complete care of us. Though it may not appear always very favorable, but the truth is that we are very well protected. And that was the situation with Prahlad, because he completely surrendered to the Lord. He was at the lotus feet of the Lord, and he had nothing to fear. So that was the situation in this particular scene. Now, Prabhupada says that that is the difference between a demon and a devotee. So the ferocious appearance of the Lord was such that even demigods, who are also devotees of the Lord, they were even scared to come close to him. But a devotee, a pure devotee of the Lord, is not scared of the Lord, because he knows that the Lord is all-loving and all-caring. So because of that situation, Prahlad Maharaj says that I am not scared of all these features of yours. And whatever is the situation, the devotee considers it as the mercy of the Lord and accepts it. And when we move, it is basically the similar message in the other verses also. In verse number 16, Prahlad Maharaj admits that it is due to his karmas that he has been put in this situation. He had to undergo a lot of harassments. His father, you know, did practically so many things to have him killed. But Prahlad Maharaj accepted them, you know, as I said earlier, the Lord's mercy, and he did not complain even once. So here, Srila Prabhupada says that Prahlad Maharaj is speaking on behalf of all of us. So most of us, at times, we ask, when we are, especially when we are in unfavorable situations, we ask this question, that why did you, or why did God put me in this situation? What have I done? So our Srila Prabhupada says a very interesting thing, that forget why you are there. Ask how you can get out of that situation. So this is the most important question which we have to ask ourselves. We are in this material world, and as Prahlad Maharaj says, that we are here because of our karmas. Now we are here, what do we do? How do we get out of here? That is where all our intelligence, all our energies, and all our efforts should be focused. This is an opportunity for us to get out of this, you know, miserable situation. And if we let it go, we don't know how many more lifetimes we will be suffering again and again and again. And when would we get the opportunity to get out of this situation? So, when you see, it is very interestingly, we can distinguish between a devotee and a non-devotee by how they react in a particular situation. So, when something good happens to a devotee, he always considers it as Lord's mercy. And when something unfavorable happens, then he accepts as his own mistake or the result of his karmas. Whereas, in case of non-devotees, it is just the opposite. In case something interesting or good happens, then they are so puffed up. You know, it is, I'm so intelligent, I'm so hardworking, I have such great skills, that's why I was able to achieve this. And when something goes wrong or something is unfavorable, then they ask the challenging questions that why this thing is happening to me, what have I done? So with this situation or this kind of a behavior, we can easily distinguish between a devotee and a non-devotee. But whatever may be the situation, even if it is not unfavorable, what is the appropriate conduct of a devotee? Appropriate conduct. Yeah, we surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord. We accept that whatever is coming to me is Lord's mercy. And that is the only way we can, Lord will take care of us. So we can be also sure that whatever we are getting is what we deserve. Lord is not going to give us something which we don't deserve. So the intelligence, you know, the materialistic person and the non-devotee is using all his intelligence for his sense gratification, all, you know, how to satisfy my senses and so on. Whereas a devotee uses his intelligence to see how he can use his senses for the pleasure of the Lord, how he can engage those senses in the loving service of the Lord and then get closer and get connected with the Lord. And in the last verse, verse number 17, it says, O great one, O supreme Lord, because of combination with pleasing and displeasing circumstances and because of separation from them, one is placed in a most regrettable position within heavenly or hellish planets, as if burning in a fire of lamentation. Although there are many remedies by which to get out of miserable life, any such remedies in the material world are more miserable than the miseries themselves. Therefore, I think that the only remedy is to engage in your service. Kindly instruct me in such service. So when I was reading this, I read a very interesting story which I would like to share with you. We have read about Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami, that they were working as ministers for the Nawab. And when even a person from a Brahmin family, if he worked at that time for a Muslim, he was, you know, nobody really accepted him in the community. So there was this Brahmin called Subuddhi Roy. And he was a big landowner. He had a lot of land in different places in India, all over the country. And he had he had several servants, because in his position he needed so many servants. And he used to really take very good care of them. This is another indication how a Vaishnav takes care of his servants. He treated them like his own children. So there was one Muslim boy who used to work for him, and his name was Hussein Khan. He used to love him, and Hussein Khan was very happy working with Subuddhi Roy. And once he was given a responsibility to get a lake made. Somehow, Nawab, this Hussein Khan, he messed up. So Subuddhi Roy was very upset, and he wanted to punish him. So in those days, the punishment was not like, you know, today that, you know, Prabhu, what have you done? You know, he was whipped. But still, after that, he continued to work for Subuddhi Roy. After some time, somehow, the things changed, and the king appointed Hussein Khan as Nawab of a particular area. Nawab is like, you can say, a governor of a certain area. So he was still not married, and he was in that position. So because he was now in a, you know, interesting or a important job, earning good amount of money, there were a lot of, you know, young girls who were ready to marry him. And he married one such girl. And his wife, she saw the marks on his body. And she asked him that, what are these marks? And he explained that, you know, he explained the whole story that I was working for Subuddhi Roy, and that's what happened, and I was whipped, and these are the marks of those whips. So the wife was a very, very revengeful person. So she said, oh, he punished you like that? So now you are in a position, you can take revenge. So you have to kill him. So he said, how can you even talk like that? I have treated him always like my father, and he treated me always like his son. So if he chastised me for something which I did wrong, I'm not going to be even angry with him. It's perfectly okay. But, you know, she did not give up. So she would always kind of coax him that you have to do something about it. He cannot get away with it. So he said, no way, I'm not going to kill him at all. So she said, okay, if you don't want to kill him, you can, he's a Brahmin, you can make him a Muslim. So, and that was very simple, according to what I heard at that time, that he had to just even touch him, or, you know, sprinkle some water from his water pot on that, and then he is no more a Brahmin. So that was the situation in those times. So he said, you know, even doing that is like killing him. But since you are after my life, I will do that. So he sprinkled some water on Subuddhi Roy, and he was excommunicated from his Brahmin community. So nobody will talk to him, nobody will, you know, accept him, nobody will invite him for any functions and so on. So he really did not know what to do. So he was advised, you know, there were Samartha Brahmins who would tell him you can do, you know, several kind of penances and then be a Brahmin again, but it is not going to be easy. So he, and this is the point I'm trying to make, is sometimes the remedy is more difficult than the, you know, the difficulty itself, the misery itself. So they would tell him things to do which would almost kill him or surely kill him. And so they were so difficult situations for him. And one of them I was reading was like drinking boiling ghee. So you see, if you drink boiling ghee, you are not going to survive. You are just going to burn and die. So he knew that, you know, there is hardly any escape for him if he continues to live in the same village. So he left that village and he decided to come to Vrindavan. So when he came to Vrindavan, he was in Mathura, and he took up a small job somewhere. And he used to make, let's say, 6 cents a day. Okay, this was actually paisa, which is in not even close to a cent at that time, but let us say 6 cents a day he used to make. Out of that, 2 cents he used to spend for his own maintenance. And out the 4 cents he will use for this, to render service to Vaishnavas who are coming to Vrindavan and Mathura for pilgrimage. He will buy things for them, he will buy food for them, he will pay for their expenses and so on. So that's how he was leading his life. Then he came in contact with Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya took pity on him. Like being a compassionate person, he took pity on all of us, as a matter of fact. So Subuddhi Roy was not an exception. And Lord told him that you don't have to do any of those activities which these Brahmins are telling you. And you do what I say, and then you are a Vaishnav. You are even higher than a Brahmin. And what did Lord tell him? Chant Hare Krishna. So it is so easy for us. The Lord made it so easy for us. When the situation around us is so difficult, we are in this, whirlpool. You know, we're trying to get out of it, and we are getting sucked in, pulled in more and more. But just by chanting the holy name of the Lord, we can simply get out of all those miseries. But when we chant the holy name of the Lord, what do we need to do in addition to it? So I took this information from Nectar of Instruction, verse number 3, where Rupa Goswami says that execute devotional service with enthusiasm, endeavor with confidence, patience, act according to regulatory principles, abandon the association of non-devotees, and following in the footsteps of previous acharyas. So if we follow these instructions, then we are guaranteed a success in our devotional life. So we now have the recipe, we have the formula, the only thing is we have to practice. So it's 8:30, we can go home and practice. Thank you so much for listening to me. Any questions, comments, corrections, additions?
You guys think you know me? No, I'm just kidding. All right, Sri Prabhu. Thank you for your class. My question is related to, one appreciation point. It says in this first verse that we quoted today that the Lord has conquered Ajita by love and Prahlad. So one point I was appreciating, I guess, in connection with the Damodar pastime is that we could see that whether one is a Mother Jasoda or Prahlad or even, by contrast, a Bilva Mangal Thakur, nevertheless, he's still conquered by one's determination, one's love, and one's devotion. So that gives at least me inspiration. I don't know about you guys.
Yes.
But my question is that we can see in certain instances that the Lord exhibits certain incarnations for a particular like time, place, and circumstances. Like, for example, this incarnation, he exhibited his chastisement feature. And then, let's say with the pastime with Bhrigu Muni, he was very, loving with Bhrigu Muni. Anyway, we could just see that, in daily life, even us, we have the tendency to exhibit certain personalities or incarnations. Mm-hmm. I would know, a few days ago. Yeah. So my question is, what circumstances determine which feature the Lord exhibits? Like, how come he's not, I'll just give an example. For example, the four Kumaras, when they wanted to enter the spiritual world, Jaya and Vijaya said, you can't go nowhere. Yeah. You're not VIP. This is a club, the spiritual club. And so what determined, it seems like the four Kumaras, when they chastised Jaya and Vijaya, they were looking for, like, at least from an external point of view, of revenge. Like, do you know who we are? We're the four Kumaras, mm-hmm. So how does one determine, like, what's considered, what to let things go, how to be forgiving, and when to chastise, what's the determining factor of that?
I would like to share with all of you this interesting pastime. You know why Jayavijayas were cursed, and how Lord creates that situation. See, they were, serving the Lord wholeheartedly. So under the normal circumstances, they shouldn't have been cursed. They were so close, they were rendering the service. But they had a desire. They had a desire to engage with the Lord in Veera Ras, which is chivalry. So that was their desire. That was their, they wanted to do that. Now, how was it possible? It was not going to happen in their, that current or that existing life. So because they had that strong desire, the Lord created this situation that the four Kumaras came and Jayavijaya did not let them in and they were cursed. And then they got the opportunity to engage with the Lord in chivalry, as Hiranyakashipu or Kansa or Shishupal and so on. So this is the deeper message in this verse which we have just read. We ourselves are not really in a position to decide what is good for me or what is bad for me. So if we leave that to the Lord to decide, then it will be always what we need, what we deserve. It will never be unfavorable. Even if it appears to be unfavorable, we are still protected by the Lord. So that was the situation specifically about Jayavijaya. And as far as incarnations are concerned, Lord is Lord. He can do whatever he feels like. There are so many situations when people ask this question, that why did the Lord do like this or why did the Lord did like that? And the answer is just because he is Lord, he can do whatever he feels like. We are being his part and parcel. We have to accept the way he appears, in whatever form he appears, whatever he's doing. We may not be even seeing the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj was so fortunate that he was able to see the Lord. We do not get that opportunity. So what is there for us? How do we say? So for us, whatever is happening around us is created by Lord, and we have to accept that as Lord's energy and respect it. There is another interesting thing, which Prabhupada says, that what are we doing here in this world? We don't belong here. And that is the reason why we are unhappy. If you are in a place where you don't belong, you are not going to be happy there. So Prabhupada says that go back to Godhead. Go back to Krishna. Just simply chant his name and go back to him.
Thank you, Haribo. Can I share one other brief point? It's actually a lesson that I learned. One of your statements reminded me of it. And I think it's relevant. Anyone can test it out for themselves. You were mentioning, we are not to decide what's good for us, what's bad for us. And we all have that connection with the Lord, of course. So he definitely lets us know when he's displeased through karma or, just little things, basically. And so this reminds me, some years ago, me and Justin, I'm not sure if he'll remember, but I never forgot it. We were working in the kitchen, and some of the devotees weren't helping us out with pots. So we were mad. I was mad. I know I was mad. He was, too. And so he was working on one sink, and I was working on the main sink. And all of a sudden, I don't know, this is like mystical. I've never seen this before. The top of the sink, came off and splattered him in the face. And then at that same time, somehow or other, a whole lot of water poured on me. And he said, I was thinking negatively about devotee. I was like, me too. So basically the lesson I'm trying to get is that one of the greatest blessings I've had is that Nityananda Prabhu gave me the opportunity to, I was doing service around here, but he, hired me for, washing pots on a consistent basis. And I realized that was one of the greatest blessings because I know that's where I learned to respect devotees, because anytime you think anything negatively, no, cut your fingers. So I kind of, anyone could experiment for themselves. If you wash dishes or anything, you could just pay attention. You'll stub your toe or anything. Nothing moves without the sanction of the Lord. And that's kind of the lesson I realized, you know, that's where I learned to basically respect devotees. People shouldn't be so deceived by, you know, outward appearances or outer outbursts. Definitely, I've learned to have the utmost love and respect for all the devotees. And so, and this one thing I learned. And the last point I want to mention is that I remember learning this from Krishna Smaranam Prabhu. When this was actually during Kartik, and I never forgot this. He said he burned his finger. I'm sure you guys all remember when he burned his hand. He said, when something like that happens, there's something not right in your consciousness, and I never forgot that. And it's usually connected with Vaishnava Parai. So anyway, that's one lesson I want to share.
It's an indication. Thank you so much for sharing.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu.
Jitendra Prabhu wants to.
In regards to the, you know, you say we don't belong here, we're to go back to Godhead. I was just thinking, I heard something the other day that kind of made sense. It said, because we're disturbed, we're creating disturbance. Yes. So most of us, then, and there was a television program, it was called, there's Suburbia, and then it was called Disturbia.
How true it is. You have put it so nicely. Well, you know, we are disturbed, so we are creating disturbance. Thank you. Okay. Any other questions? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.